May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Last week, we spoke about Mothering Sunday, and Stephen told us about Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was not just a champion of faith, but also a champion of motherhood. And now today, I would like us to shift our focus away from Mary the mother to Jesus her son and to God the father of Jesus. Today is Passiontide, the beginning of Jesus' journey to the cross. And I think it's a good time to wrap our heads around a couple of things which are really hard to explain, especially to people who do not believe. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm often surrounded with people who are not Christians, like at work or in the neighborhood or even friends, and they sometimes ask some hard questions. In a way, it's very important that we let people ask us tough questions, because only then we will be challenged and we will realize the depth of our understanding or the lack of our understanding. Over the course of time, I had the privilege to be asked a couple of questions, and I was really confronted with tough ones, like, what sort of father figure is God who requires the death of his son? Or did Jesus commit suicide as he knew that his actions would lead him to the cross? These are sort of tough questions when you were born into a Christian family like me, because this is not really the way you would look at it. But anyway, the gospel reading today gives us a couple of clues as to how we could respond to such questions and how we can make sense of the cross, of Jesus, and of God, the Father of Jesus. In the gospel reading today, Jesus is speaking to a group of people, and some of them have come a long way. They were Greek, and I'm sure they were very fascinated by Jesus, this controversial figure, the person who caused a lot of trouble for the religious establishment. Now, anyone who has watched or read the news lately knows that controversy makes for good news headlines. The stories of Jesus cleansing out the temple and healing the sick led them to believe and to expect that Jesus would very soon come to power in some grand way or fashion. And I'm sure they just really wanted to use this chance to speak to him, to speak with someone before he becomes the president of the world, sort of. The more shocking it must have been for them to hear Jesus say that only by death comes life. And then he goes on to say, wheat is ineffective and unfruitful as long as you preserve it, and buried in the ground produces many seeds. Well, Jesus was saying that only by spending life do we retain it, and only by service do we achieve greatness. And all this seemed so paradox. But in fact, it was truth of common sense. Perhaps you remember what Jesus said when he was arrested. He asked the people standing around, "Don't you think I can call on my Father and he will put 12 legions of angels at my disposal?" So Jesus really had a choice here. But Jesus also knew that power and might would be forgotten eventually, but sacrifice wouldn't be forgotten. But arriving at that decision wasn't very easy for him, and he readily admits that in the passage today when he says that his soul is troubled. And we can really understand why his soul was troubled. No one wants to die at the age of 33. No one wants to die upon a cross. And as Jesus says these words, "My soul is troubled," we can clearly imagine how difficult that must have been for him. But just as the tension is mounting in his heart, something amazing happens. We hear God speak. The voice of God comes to Jesus like it has always come at all great moments in his life. At baptism, when Jesus started out to do his ministry, he heard God's voice. Or at Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus decided to take this path of the cross, as well as now, as he needs new strength to face the cross. The more striking it is how easily people can explain away the voice of God. God spoke, but some of them standing there said that it had thundered, and others said that angels had spoken to him. It seemed so hard for them to believe that God had spoken. Yet, the matter of fact is that God had spoken and that he said something very significant. He said that Jesus is not alone in this, and this speaks volumes of God in the role as a father. He is the father who sends us on a road, but he is also the father who gives us direction. And he is a father who gives us a task, but he is also the father who doesn't abandon us or ask us to depend on our own strength. To know God in such an intimate way gave Jesus the confidence he needed to face the cross. So really, this is what we can learn about God as the Father. He is the Father who affirms us and who sees us through the most difficult decisions and circumstances in life. And now to come back to the question why Jesus took the path of the cross. Perhaps the best way to explain this is to use an analogy here. Imagine for a second a very tall building like Grenfell Tower in Britain or any other tower here in Switzerland. The building is on fire and a firefighter happens to be close by. He comes to the scene and sees the fire. And he runs into the building and is able to save maybe 5 to 10 people, but in the line of duty, he dies. Perhaps this is how we can explain what happened to Jesus. The only difference being between the firefighter and Jesus is that Jesus was not just able to save a couple of people or a handful of people, but he was able to save the entire world. Jesus died on the cross not because he wanted to die, but because he wanted us to live. And that's a huge difference. And it's also a gift. It's a free gift, but nevertheless, a very precious one. And the question is, are we willing to accept this gift, and what are we going to do with it? I think we have three options here. Like this morning, we can keep the cross or this precious gift in a precious box and just take it out on special occasions and talk about it. Or we can keep it on a shelf and let it become all dusty and forget about it. Or we can keep it very close to our heart and let others have a share in this gift. The choice is ours, and as we closely follow Jesus' path to the cross in the coming days, I pray that all of us will be able to make up our minds if we haven't done that already. Amen.